Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Hope you have a nice weekend. Jackie Mason didn't.
Nope.
He died.
He's dead.
93 years old. Oh, I'd sign up for that. No?
It's a good run. Yes.
93.
Yep, 93. Voice of the Aardvark.
That's right.
Hey, Ant.
Hey, Ant.
I'm going to eat you now. Hey, Ant.
Hey, Phil, can you look that up?
The Ant and the Aardvark was the cartoon on the Pink Panther show.
It was the Pink Panther.
Yep.
And then they had other
little vignettes.
Little vignettes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Ant, I'm going to eat you. Always had the vacuum sound. And like other things that like go in his mouth, like an anvil or something. Yep.
Oh, he would suck up like an anvil?
Yeah, like he would, every time he wanted to eat the ant, he'd go to, hoover him up, and, he'd, stick his nose in, the ant's ant hill, and, the ant would put something in there. powder. Also, you see his whole face turn red.
Well, he was a
What's the matter? You lost me. I want to talk to you for a minute. As a matter of fact, I want to talk to you about your future. You know, you're talking to the wrong guy. I'm semi-retired.
Is that Dean Martin? Is Dean Martin the ant?
I have no idea.
Just to make a decent sandwich, and I'm having trouble with just one.
That's Dean Martin.
Day's half over.
Sounds like him.
Hey, you know, speaking of the day half over, I gotta get this pie back to my little pan before it's spoiled.
That's Dean Martin.
Okay, you asked for it.
It has to be.
I don't think this is them. I think this is impersonating voices.
Oh.
Well, that is definitely Jackie Mason's voice of the aardvark. Because it's listed in the credits.
Yeah.
I'm saying this
could have been decades later.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah, so he's dead. He was on the Ed Sullivan show. Any comedian that was on the Ed Sullivan show
is old and dead.
Is old.
Is old and dead.
Right. Old and dead or close to dead.
He did something. Didn't he give the finger to Ed Sullivan on the show or something like that?
Did he?
Yeah, I thought I heard something about that.
I should have pulled up his bio.
Yeah.
I didn't pull up his bio because I'm like, F him. He hung up on me. Remember? He got mad. He said someone should have punched me in the mouth.
Yeah. That was during your run of killing celebrities.
Yes. Because we thought he was going to die.
Yeah, so he hung up he's dead.
So David Carradine got mad at me and died a week later.
Yep. Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg got mad at me, died days later.
2 days later.
Yeah, I feel like that was it because he got so mad. He was popping off. I think that's formed an aneurysm.
Right.
And then Jackie Mason we're like, here's the trifecta.
Yeah, number three.
Yeah, he'll be dead soon, and he didn't die.
No, he didn't.
By the way, the ant and the aardvark, both characters are voiced by John Biner. He's imitating Jackie Mason for the aardvark, and he's imitating Dean Martin for the ant.
Biner was one of the villains on Batman. I think he was the...
No one cares.
Yeah.
Jackie Mason is dead. That's all I want to talk about. And he hung up on me.
Wonder why.
AJ, so Phil wasn't here. Phil would remember every single word
said in this interview. Yes, he would.
You don't remember what I did to make him mad?
I don't recall what you did exactly. All I know is that...
Was I talking like this?
It was
the whole interview. Hey, Jackie Mason. Hey, how you doing?
It was a very short interview.
It was short.
And there was something we were talking... We wanted to talk to him about, and he didn't want to talk about it.
That's it.
And then...
He said, that's it.
All right, in that case, have yourself a good day, and goodbye. Click.
I said, no, you got to talk... No.
That's it. I'm out of here.
Thanks for the interview.
Yep.
And then he said, someone should have punched me in the mouth.
Yes.
All right, hold on. And that's all I have. We don't, I have the archives at my house. I didn't know he died. I would have pulled it out.
He should have called you.
He should have called me. Told me, hey, I'm about to die.
I'm going to die soon. Get the interview.
Pull that interview.
One time when I hung up.
Before I die, I want to punch you in the mouth.
Okay.
All right, here it is. So all you're going to hear is, because this is all I have on my computer, thanks for the interview. Someone should have punched you in the mouth.
Thanks for the interview. Somebody should have busted you in the mouth a long time.
Someone
should have busted you in the mouth a long time ago. Should have busted you in the mouth.
Someone should have busted you in the mouth.
Yep, that's old school right there.
And he's saying a long time ago. I've had this coming for a while. Right. Someone should have punched you a long time ago.
And then he hung up.
Oh, I wish I had the whole thing.
I didn't know he was going to die. I had no idea.
No, funny guy.
Very funny.
You know, sometimes interviews you think they're going to go a certain way, and they just don't go that way.
No. It's also
you're trying to get a thing going, or you want a piece of information.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can't come on the show and promote your show and not, you know. Anyway, and sometimes I just screw them up. That's all. That's part of life.
And then they die.
My mistakes are very public.
Right. And fatal, apparently.
And deadly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And fatal.
Do what we say or die.
Yeah. So do we have him? What is this? He's...
I'm doing stand-up.
All right. This is good. Stand-up.
Different people have a different point of view about the same thing. Like, I never expected to be in show business. I never did. And I don't need this. You think I need this? I got enough money to last me the rest of my life. That's the truth. Unless I want to buy something. No matter how much money you make in this country, there's a government here. I don't know if you heard about it. They keep in touch with me. I don't know why. Sometimes I think they depend on me for a living. I told them, don't bother me. I need you. I'll call you. I mean, it's enough already. They have a lot of nerve. I say that publicly. Don't get nervous. It's not that I don't love my country. For my country, I would give my life. But my money. Let's be honest about it. When I was starving, you think they sent me money? For years, I was starving. Didn't even send me a card. How do I feel? I don't know. Maybe I need a couple of dollars. Couldn't care less. As soon as they found out I'm making money, they became a partner. It won't hurt me if they ask me once. A country could be in trouble once. This is the third year in a row. I told them, I gave already. Yes, somebody else. Sooner or later, you got to learn to stand on your own 2 feet. I told them. I said, what are you going to do when I'm gone? You're going to close up the country?
Noivus.
I got some noif.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
He was a rabbi turned comedian.
You know something about that? Who knows when he did that?
Yeah.
But it's still perfect today.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It is. It still works.
It's like this, you could do that on stage today.
Nothing has changed.
It's just as good and just as funny.
Nothing has changed.
All right. Rest in peace, Jackie Mason. Died over the weekend, 93. Just, you know, when you're 93, you die of 93.
Yes.
Yeah. We were at the amphitheater, the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater, Saturday for the christening, the kind of open house event.
Yeah,
and it was great. And Mayor Joe Gannon was there, and he's on the phone now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, we got to talk about your look a little bit.
My look?
Yeah. You look younger now than when you took over, when you became mayor, like way, way back.
Are you in Skynyrd now?
What's going on over there?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Are you a vampire?
I'm a vampire. Yeah. It was dark there, so I probably looked good. Or better. You couldn't see that well.
Okay.
No, but you're thin, tanned.
Right.
Your eyebrows are perfect.
Right.
You have beautiful, thick hair. Your nose is perfect.
Wait a minute, I'm going to look in the mirror while you're talking to me.
He's like GQ. AJ, he could be a male model.
Seriously, right.
That's left my line. That's what I tell. That's, yeah. But, hey, thank you, guys. Honestly, that's really nice of you. I know you're goofing a little bit, which I appreciate.
I look at, I Google pictures of you, and images from when you first started are way different than now.
Yeah, usually opposite way around. You start off looking good, and then look like haggard by the end.
Right. You're running a city. You should be gray and bald and fat and mad.
Gross.
And at the
angry. Your hands should be swollen from punching walls.
Chain smoking, shaking the whole night.
Right.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
I will tell you, though, I think what happens to all of us with our jobs or our careers or whatever we're doing, and obviously I've been in and out of this job and other things, but I think we carry the stress as we go over. I remember the first, I don't know how many years, and I'm sure we've all done our jobs and our careers when we're getting our act together, how much more stressful it is. I'm not saying this isn't a stressful job now, but I think there's a I don't say a rhythm you get, but an understanding of the challenges and the ebbs and flows.
Oh, I get that.
So I think that's
okay.
Good.
I know what you're saying.
And like you guys, I know you guys, and whether I hear it on the ear or know it in person, take care of yourselves. And anybody that's listening, I think health is real important, especially with dealing with stress in our jobs and physically. I make it a commitment to myself every day to try and just kind of stay on top of health and working out. And,
I'm not knocking you. I'm like, wow, you're the example of how everyone should do it.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
The eyebrows, though, that's a little, like, for me, when I see
eyebrows,
guys,
really?
When I see guys do their eyebrows, I'm like, okay, that's one step further than I'm comfortable with.
Eyebrows are very fashionable now.
No, they are. Mm-hmm. I know. Like, hey, I'm the last one who should be poking fun at someone who's taking care of themselves.
Right.
But you pluck those things. There's some grooming going on there.
You shape them.
They're not normal.
Right. They're well groomed.
So I met a lot of people campaigning, but I met a guy who has a barbershop in Bridgeport on North Avenue and started going, and he's very meticulous about how he takes care of his clients, and I'm one of them, and he does a good job. And he makes me look better than I actually am. So,
but you know what you need, though? You need one rogue one just so you seem normal.
Right. One that, like, reaches the stars.
One what?
One rogue hair
rogue
in your eyebrow.
Right.
Yeah. One just...
like an antenna.
It doesn't seem normal.
Like an antenna.
They almost look tattooed.
Right.
I'm going to go check out my... I'm going to take a good look when we're done. And
your eyebrows are perfect. Oh, come on. You can't look that good and not look at yourself in the mirror. And I don't mean that as disrespect, but...
I'm taking a look right now. I'm not that impressed, but thank you,
really?
Guys.
Really? Oh, see, that's the problem. No matter how good you look, you're not satisfied, so you're always working for the next thing.
Or his mirror's broken.
I will tell you something, though, to pivot. What really looked good was the amphitheater.
Yes.
I mean, I was...
That's the mayor saying we're done with this conversation.
See how smooth that was?
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, let's talk about the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. I've been telling everybody about it. Jennifer's been hearing all about it. But it still doesn't match what it is. When you get there, you're like, whoa.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Whoa.
My whoa.
God.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And the, even the area where we did the speaking.
The concourse.
We were in there. Yeah, with the lights and the theme that they put in there. Just that look was just, and that's like, I don't say back of the house, but it's not where the events are. It's where you walk through and the lighting and every element of what Howard did, they did, and are doing there is just outstanding. I think people, got to go see it.
Here's one
you
of the things.
Go there and listen.
So here's one of the many things. You go to any other concert place, they got some hot dogs that were made who knows where, probably in a sneaker factory.
Or when.
And they're on rollers, right? And it's the crappiest buns, probably buns thrown out by another place.
Probably.
Stale, yeah.
Here, they have gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches. Little Pub is there.
Nice.
They have a brand new taco called the Atomic Taco.
Oh, nice.
You have Pepe's is there.
Cool.
Donut Crazy. I mean, they got professionals.
They got the good stuff.
Not just people who do good food, but the best of the best.
Top tier.
Yeah. And then you got local breweries. Just that, to me, elevates the concert experience by 90%.
And for Connecticut.
Yeah. Really, really cool.
And I think we'd also agree, too, that the breadth of the audience, or the, I don't say the audience, the individuals that were there with us showed how far people will. I mean, there were a number of Bridgeport people there, but definitely a number of people from all over the state and beyond. They came. I think their jaws dropped like ours did, saying, wow, okay, this is cool.
So I
heard it.
I went backstage, and I know you were back there, too, and you see the dressing rooms. And now I've been on the tour 4 or 5 times, so I've seen them progress. In that period of time that I was back there, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, I heard people say, oh, my God. 40 times.
Yeah.
It's all your, oh my God.
Oh my,
it sounded like what it's going to sound like.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Stage when the bands are back there.
Oh my God.
Groupies.
Right.
But it was, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. People couldn't believe it.
It's nice in my house.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I got mail.
I got mail.
I got mail.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yay.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You know what else, too, they told me when we were, before this went up, and with the arena, which had a good, pretty good track record of attracting. One of the downfalls, to your point, has been an example they gave me was Elton John. When Elton John came and played Bridgeport, and Jimmy probably knows this better than I do, at the arena, there's no back of the house like that. And when someone comes in and individuals come in, Lennon, whoever they are, they want a comfortable place, and that back of the house will make all the difference in who Bridgeport, who the amphitheater is able to attract and want to come back. They're going to say, oh, that's cool. we want to go back there. It's comfortable. It's fun. Not only is it a great place to play when you get on stage, and the stage is phenomenal, but the back of the house is kind of their comfort area.
Yeah.
And they Howard knew that. Jimmy knew that. They know that. And that's why they spent so much time, money, and energy on it. And it really was as you said, you heard it hit the jaw-dropping impact when people walk through there like us.
It was a great moment when Howard Safin got up there, the brainchild behind this, the money behind it, the man with the plan. He got up and he spoke, and it was emotional because, you know, you think about when you take on a project like this, it's enormous.
Yeah.
And you're taking a big risk. There's no guarantee. It's even going to so you're writing out checks before it's even approved, before you bring in Live Nation, all this. And so it was emotional, but then he had a piece of paper in his hand. I'm like, does he have notes? He read an article that someone wrote that said, this will never happen. Oh. And I love that, you know, someone betted against him and he held that.
Yep.
You know, I wonder if he tacked it up on the wall.
I'll show you.
It's like a team motivation when the other team says something. And you put it up there, and that's your motivation every day.
Yep. That's
cool. When things are down, you're like, let me read this.
I'll fix your ass.
I'll show you.
Fix your ass.
Well, and those are, without getting into names, there are people that are working against this being successful. We'll probably continue to do that. And Howard plowed right through it.
Why would anyone do that, Mayor?
Well, I don't want to go off, but there is... It's challenging, and I'm somewhat apologetic to people that come in and don't understand, you know, what happens in Bridgeport. You get petty politics where there are, I don't know, sub-narratives going on about why someone wants to be against this or against that.
Man.
And I think what happened with Howard was he came in, took over what was a great run, 20 years of entertainment with baseball. And when he ripped the walls open, he found out there was, unfortunately, more there, much, much more there than needed to be done. And can you imagine going through, you take on this big project, you got to partner with Live Nation, and you're like, you know what it's going to look like, what we saw over the weekend and what's there now. And then you're like, oh, geez, how do I get there now? And then you got people throwing, whether it's words or mud at you, like we saw in the speech and in the article.
Yeah.
So really tip my hat to him. I didn't say much about him. I wanted to keep my comments short, but I think the takeaway is, other than a great human being, as we saw, who cares and is committed, says he's going to do something and does it. And whether it's in life or whether it's in government, whether it's in building or projects, I mean, that means a lot, and it goes a lot. And that reputation, I think, has helped carry the relationship he has with Live Nation and gotten this amphitheater to the point where it is now. And we're just starting. This is the place where once you've been there, once you learn about it, once you enjoy it, it's going to continue to just become bigger and better and more well-known. And whether it's an icon or a prototype or whatever, I think you see more of them going up that look like this, the unique structure.
Oh, throughout the country, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this area needed a concert place since 2007 when the New Haven Coliseum was brought down. And one of the things, I'll just one more thing, and then I want to ask you about something else. Mayor Ganim of Bridgeport's on the phone. Is, you know, Howard got there, he started ripping the walls open. It's like, oh, this needs more work. And who hasn't bought a house or something and thought,
or a car?
Oh, this is way more than I imagined.
What did I do?
But with all of that, it became more expensive to do. He still was fixated on the details to make it the coolest place possible.
Right.
And one example of that is Guitar Man. You know, on the air, Jimmy's on, somebody calls up, a tribe member says, hey, I know where Guitar Man is. It's a Connecticut concert icon. It was on the face of the New Haven Coliseum from 1972 to 2007. It had felt the roar of many crowds and the pounding of many bands and just has some great history.
Yeah.
And the listener, the tribe member said, hey, I know where it is. And then 5 minutes later, the person who owned it called up and said, I own it. And Jimmy calls Howard and says, you want to buy something cool that you don't really need? And Howard was like, yes. He went right out, cut the deal. And then you got to get a crane, and then you got to get a truck, and then you truck it over to ABC Sign in Bridgeport, and then they fix it and clean it and then backlight it, and then you got to get a crane, and you got to get a truck, and you got to bring it over, then you got to get a crane, and you got to hang it up.
A lot of work.
And that was just for Guitar Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of that. So that just that's one of, like, thousands of details in this place.
A lot of details, and as you said, I think as you get older – like me, in addition to maybe plucking eyebrows and trying to, you know, maintain looking human.
I love you, man.
I understand and recognize and respect history and tradition and things that mean something. So to see Howard kind of do that and carry on Guitar Man and bring it to Bridgeport is, for lack of a kind of more exciting way to state it, really cool.
And he's really, easygoing. Really,
yeah.
You know, like, you just can't help but root for him when you meet him. And the only
Howard?
Yes.
No. He is a cut your throat businessman. He will. And that's why he says, but he's straightforward. He is.
Wait, are you joking or not? Should I be laughing?
No. He is a tough businessman. He'll look you right. I mean, it's a compliment. He'll look you right in the eye, tell you what he needs to get done. It's no BS.
Well, that's not cutthroat. That's direct.
Yes.
No. Direct. Yeah. That is a compliment. No.
It's like, we're not going to fart around here. This is what I need, and I need you to do it.
This is what I need. I need to get this done. I can't. This is the way it's going to happen, and I know what I'm doing. I really need your help if you want this thing to happen.
I only saw Mad once. I saw Mad once.
You don't want to see him mad.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
So the governor says, hey, before I do this tour of the amphitheater, I want to meet with you guys beforehand in the conference room. And there's like five of us with the governor. I'm like, doesn't he have the more important things to do? Why don't you meet with us? So it's Jimmy Koplik, Howard, and probably another four of us. So we get there. The governor sits down, and there's some small talk. I'm like, this is not why he's sitting here. All of a sudden, the governor looks over at Jimmy, and Howard says, so what do you think about the XL Center? What should I do with that? And Jimmy had thoughts, and now Howard has thoughts. And as Howard's talking, I could see the governor's lighting up with, like, oh, this is good. And I said, Howard, that should be your next project. And that was the only time he looked at me, and I thought, wow, if he can make me explode right now, he would.
He tried to.
He did the cross sign, like, ah!
He tried to. Damn it, it's not working today.
But anyway.
I've been a part of those conversations. I think they think it's very challenging.
Center?
I think the governor's right to try and, to do what he's doing with the
that's what you do. You ask smart people things, you know? The governor didn't ask me any questions, so that was good.
Yeah.
The only thing he asked me is, how you doing?
They sent me for coffee.
Before we let you go, so we'll see you, I think, Wednesday at the amphitheater, right?
Yes, and that's going to be a phenomenal day. I'm very excited about it.
Are you staying for REO Speedwagon?
I don't know if you want me to say it on the air, but I really want to thank you guys personally, but also as part of a real commitment, a corporate commitment to amplifying, so to speak, what's happening at this facility. I think it means a lot to your listeners, to people that are looking for a real, as we pivot out of COVID. The timing on this is wonderful. It's going to be great entertainment. And thanks for being a part of it and promoting it. And
let's
continue to be part of a success. It's a real big deal for so many people.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you.
As a 13-year-old kid walking into the New Haven Coliseum under the Guitar Man to go see my first concert, Electric Light Orchestra with Jimmy Koplik on my ticket.
Hello.
To now, as an adult, be part of the next generation of concerts coming to Connecticut. This is easy.
It's cool.
One of the things I said when we were introducing the guy from the Hartford Healthcare Center is I said, it's so fitting after a 100-year pandemic to have, a pandemic that separated all of us.
It did.
Have Hartford Healthcare be the title sponsor of the place that's going to bring us all back together. Wow. I thought, man, that was so fitting. You couldn't have a better title sponsor.
No.
No, and they've stepped up. I mean, the name is, I think they're going to get more than, on a financial analysis, they're going to get way more than whatever
they already did
out there for the promotion.
I've said that name and heard that name more from that amphitheater in the last month than I have my whole life. They are making a run at Fairfield County.
Yeah.
Billboards, the amphitheater. All right, so we're going to see you Wednesday at the amphitheater, right? And do you know who's playing?
Do I know who's playing on Wednesday?
That's a no.
Yeah. No, of course I do. Oh. Sticks, REO, and oh yeah, no. I've got my invited family and friends, and no, this is going to be a enjoyable, not only ribbon cutting and launch, but just one of those things where hopefully for a little while we can kick back and kind of space out, so to speak, on some good music and memories. Right in, I think is going to be the greatest facility and well beyond the region. In the world. I like that, in the world.
So you know the...
In the universe. And once you go to the world, you can say universe.
Mayor, can you name any songs from Styx?
Not by title, but I listened to one last... Go ahead, throw one at me and I'll hum it.
Blue Collar Man.
No, I can't do it.
Renegade.
Babe.
Yeah, so we'll enjoy them all.
I know. I'm that person.
I will be singing along.
You're a busy guy.
The title. Oh, jeez. Unfortunately, I do want to pivot to another. You know, you talked about Hartford Health.
Yeah. All right. So I ran out all your time. So the mayor saw me Saturday night. He was like, "Hey, can I get on to talk about this thing? Because I'm kind of annoyed." And I said, of course. And then I ran out all of his time talking about the amphitheater. So I'll give you a minute on this, and then we got to go.
Yeah, no. It's not annoyed. It's if I had to be kind, I'd say disappointed. You talk about corporations that are stepping up like Hartford Healthcare through a crisis and a pandemic. And then you see corporate greed, or I see corporate greed now, in both what we're seeing in Bridgeport and throughout the state with People's Bank, which is a Bridgeport-based bank, has been for a long, long time, and a new merger with M&T. They're going to lay off, put out of work 700 families, 600 of them from the Bridgeport office.
Oh.
These are people at the end of a pandemic are going to find themselves without jobs. And so, you know, I should shut my mouth to a certain extent because I don't run that corporation and I don't know what their challenges are. But when I hear them paying out tens of millions of dollars in golden parachutes that I think should be clawed back at this point and should replace what's being the savings on laying off people, many of them from Bridgeport, is wrong. And so I'm going to ask the Attorney General in the state of Connecticut. We've had conversations with the governor's office. I think public officials from all over need to take a look at what's going on here. It's wrong. It should be stopped between now and October when they try and close. And on a local level, I know our city council and me as mayor and others are going to do everything we can for transparency to find out what's going on and to prevent these job losses and corporate greed. And we'll do everything we can. It's just not right. Not right now. It's not the way they treat people, especially from what we're hearing about what's going on with
I'm
that
sure
trend.
I'm sure they were, you know, I'm going to stay out of this one. All right. So
good.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate it.
I will see y'all look as good as I can when I see y'all Wednesday.
Where's something pretty?
Look great. This doesn't count as dumbest song ever recorded, which is one of the things we're asking you about on social media and on the air, and we'll get back to that later.
Okay.
This doesn't count because it wasn't a record. It was somebody in church. So it's kind of like karaoke. It's not really, but we don't care because it's so bad. We're going to have fun with this.
Yes.
Michael Killen!
Killen!
By the way, Michael, great job at the Chaz and AJ Maritime Chevrolet Stand Up for Vets event Friday.
He was very funny.
Oh, thank you.
He is so on top of taking pictures and posting stuff. And why? What was he funny about?
No, I was making a joke that like he was on stage.
Oh.
They're funny how like a clown he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what do we have here?
All right. So this first guy, like you mentioned, is in front of a church, and he's doing his oh so very best to sing Looking for a City in his best falsetto voice. He starts off pretty clumsy, but God help him, he hits a stride at some point, so let's take a listen.
I like him smack-talking in the beginning. Do we have that?
Intro. I feel like that's a necessary element here.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, this next and final song is going to be one that has made me pretty famous over the last few years. It has took me a lot of places I didn't think I would be at. But it was the first time on stage, New Year's Eve 2002. with one of the best quartets out there today, Brian Free and Assurance. And I was privileged to be able to sing this one with Brian Free. And I don't know if I beat him that night or not, but ever since then, we've had competitions. I've wore him out. Not to make me look good or anything, but that's what happened. But this is one that also my friends at my hometown church, Gospel Light Baptist Church in Salisbury, North Carolina, has really made their top choice. So therefore, we're going to finish off with this one. It's called Looking for a City.
It sounds like the Muse. I'm sorry. I don't. I really don't want to stop this, but I have to. It sounds like it. One of those silent movies.
Oh yeah, well, like Play Me Off, Johnny.
It's like it's like the early Mickey Mouse cartoon, right? When he's Steamboat Willie,
or any like Western. The guy playing the piano in the, in the bar.
So it's always exactly
the salon. Yeah.
The salon.
The salon and the saloon.
Yeah, the salon in the Western town.
Yeah, I'm going to go get me a pedicure.
They need to get their hair done.
This town ain't big enough for that unkempt mustache.
My hair's coming up my hat. Right. I think you need to give me a little balayage.
Oh, you and I are waxing it, too.
And then my toenails cut.
That's where Joe Ganim goes.
All right.
Looking for a city.
This is the best thing to happen to him after he was smack talking that dude.
This is God going, watch this.
Yeah. Yep. Boy, I didn't know you were going to start there.
It's like Porky Pig.
Oh, I missed it.
All specifics, that's all, folks. Like a bug when it's stroke.
Yes.
That's exactly it. I know. Just when a fly flies in your throat and you get stuck.
I swallowed a June bug.
Oh, but it gets better.
Looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where we'll never die. Where the saint and millions never say goodbye.
I'm thinking to myself, is this a joke?
It can't be real.
It's not a joke.
No. No, he's got conviction. He's holding that microphone with two hands, and his eyes are closed, and he's really into it.
Oh, yeah. In his mind, he's on stage at Madison Square Garden belting this out in front of everybody.
I'd rather hear the bug sing. Maybe
that's why
he's
singing like that. There's a bug singing. Maybe it was a beetle, not a fly.
Fucking epiglottis.
And our love was too come, a Holy Spirit.
What's a Schmirit?
Holy Schmirit.
Holy Schmirit.
It's a Smirnoff spirit.
He's making a bagel. Holy Schmirit. The Holy Schmirit.
Right. Holy Schmirit.
Schmirit.
Wow. If he buried the other guy, I can only imagine how bad the other guy is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, maybe that's what we should do for next week. What? Dig up that guy.
Find the other guy?
He says his name.
Right.
So, all right.
Our homes renew. Looking for a city.
Key change.
Where we'll never die.
What key is that?
How is that church still standing?
But how does this happen where someone doesn't say, you know,
you suck,
Jimmy?
Right.
Why don't you just take this one out? The Lord said, singing thing isn't for you.
The Lord said, shut up.
Wow.
I shall strike thee.
It's probably like the one thing that he showed any interest in. They're like, good, good. Yeah, singing's good.
Just do that.
Sing in church.
You realize that God tried twice to get rid of him, right? First he had the piano come in wrong and then the bug.
Hmm. This is a victim of people being nice around him.
Yeah, really.
Exactly.
If someone sucks, tell them.
It's church people. It's like, it's the Lord's way of helping Jimmy through life.
And give him a positive outlet. And now he's up there bragging like, they can't keep up with me.
Right.
This song made me famous.
We'll never die. We'll say to millions. Never say goodbye. Savior, and all of us too.
I wish there were little bubbles above the heads of the people watching this. Like,
WTF.
What they're really thinking.
WTF.
Everybody's just, like, politely nodding.
This guy
nodding.
Sucks.
How much longer is this?
Pig's getting cold. Sounded better.
I don't even know. Is he singing actual words?
I'm a Holy Spirit. Our homes renew. If our city.
Another key change.
Wow.
The same millions never say goodbye. Never meet our Savior. And our love was true.
And the piano player now sounds like she's in pain.
Yes.
Like this hurts.
I feel like she's messing
Another
with him.
Verse.
She's like, I'm higher. The only one who could put you in your place.
Let's go higher.
I just saw a bird explode outside.
Holy Spirit, hold our hearts renew. Look
no.
for a city where we'll never die. Where the 80 millions never say goodbye. There we meet our Savior.
Oh.
And our loved ones too.
Did he pass a kidney stone?
He is a little like Bob Dylan in that he's not letting the enunciation of the words get in his way.
Or having a voice.
Would you believe me? There's a full 60 seconds of this left.
I can't possibly listen to that. No.
Okay, tons of emails coming in responding to this song that we've been playing. Phil, can you hit it?
And our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit. Hold our homes free. Oh, a city.
Wow.
He just started too high and it just got worse.
Yep.
My guess is that the piano, that he wanted the poem to do it once, but the piano player's like, nope, gonna keep going and see how long you can go.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep on raising the octave each time, too. Yep.
Wow.
That was painful.
And how much more time do we have on this?
There's 60 seconds left.
Oh, Jesus.
How much time does he have left?
Oh, a city where we'll never die. Where the 80 millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior. And our love ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit.
It's like Geddy Lee got punched in the throat.
Yeah.
Like Geddy Lee said, leave me out of this.
Is there a big finish?
Yeah, actually.
Oh,
do you want
seriously?
Me to fast forward to that?
Please.
Okay, so here's the last, 20 seconds.
Never say goodbye. There will meet our Savior. And our love was too. Come, that's all I'm doing. So, see ya.
That's all I'm doing.
So, see ya.
All right. Okay.
Oh.
Ooh, my ears.
Yeah, they're happy it's done.
They're happy it's over. Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, my God.
Mike, where did you find that?
I don't know. In the depths of YouTube internet, I don't know. It's out there.
Wow.
He looked up what happens after you die and go to hell.
That's the kind of stuff Facebook should ban.
You hear this guy over and over again.
Yeah.
See ya.
I think the biggest travesty was that we didn't get a camera of the audience and all their reactions.
Oh,
yes.
Great point.
Right.
Yes.
People choking themselves out.
Oh, that
out.
Might be a funny video, though. You take that, and then you just insert, like, different, like, faces from different movies.
Right.
Michael, thanks. Bridges. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot.
It's Michael Killen. Oh. Let's talk to Ron Wickman. Board member of Skydiving for Veterans.
Wow, what song did it?
Yeah. I don't know. That one from the Saloon, that would make me want to jump.
The Saloon.
Right.
Yep, the Saloon and the Salon.
Come on.
Yep.
Yes. That one will make you, like, not have babies.
That'll make you jump out of the plane without a parachute.
He forgot a parachute.
Yeah. Ron, thanks for doing this event for veterans. We're proud to be talking about this on Monday because you never stop raising money for veterans. We had a nice event Friday where we raised money for Help Our Military Heroes. Tell us about where this money is going to go.
Well, first of all, you guys are fantastic. Thank you so much for helping us out. The money goes to House of Heroes Connecticut chapter and to work vessels for veterans. House of Heroes helps veterans who need home repair. And their motto is, we make a difference in a day. They have a whole crew go out and, like, help a veteran in need and make a huge difference in one day.
Nice.
And work vessels for veterans, they help veteran entrepreneurs get tools they need to start businesses. So they're helping the veterans. That also helps the economy. I mean, it's just – and great people. I mean, we're all volunteers. We're just trying to give something back and help our veterans out.
Yeah, good for you. Are you a veteran?
I am not a veteran. I'm just trying to do my part to –
that's great.
Yeah, man.
To help them out.
You're a good man.
And what about volunteers for this you know, the fixing the house thing? Are you looking for contractors for that, or?
They're always looking for help. You can go to House of Heroes Connecticut chapter. Just Google that and go to their website, and they'll post when they are looking for people to do these jobs.
Ah, what a great thing! All right, so this
they're fantastic.
This sixth annual Freedom Jump fundraiser is happening on September 11th.
Correct.
Which is a fitting day.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the deal here? What do you do?
So anybody that wants to sign up, first of all, you can go to skydiveforveterans.org and just go to the register link and you can register. The day consists of, we get there about 9 o'clock and start registering people. We do a flag ceremony at 10, and then we just jump all day. We have music, we have food and drink, we have a great time. It's an all day event.
I was supposed to do it a couple of years ago.
I remember that. Yeah.
You were.
It was windy or something like that, right? Bad.
It was windy, and I thought, well, they're going to cancel it, and they didn't. Right? Is that what happened?
So we jump on a Saturday just in case there's any sort of wind, and there was actually a storm off the coast, and we were concerned about wind, so we changed it to Sunday.
Oh,
and you couldn't make it on Sunday.
Yeah, you had an event you had to go to.
Yeah, I could have gotten out of it, though. I was just a pussy.
I know how much you wanted to jump, and you were really disappointed. So if you have nothing going on September 11th, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I thought about it. Jennifer and I were talking about it over the weekend, and we both said the same thing, like, how did we ever say we were going to jump out of a plane?
Right? You had that epiphany.
We're both like, yeah, we would never say that again.
What the hell were we thinking?
Yeah.
Much fun. It's like the best ride ever.
Yeah.
You know what? The people who want to do it, this is a great event because you get to do it for, you know, a good, you know, very small amount of money. And it goes to help veterans.
Right. You want folks
but
into it.
But if you don't want to jump out of a plane, if you don't see that as being fun, then, you know, you could still help. You could still donate to
these groups. Yeah, just send money up.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah,
absolutely. But for the people that do want to jump, I mean, this is a bucket list thing for a lot of people. You know, you can cross something off your bucket list and help out our veterans at the same time and have a great day.
I'd be afraid I'd kick that bucket right there.
No, I think it's great. It's a great thing
awesome,
for the veterans.
Yeah.
And you know who you have showing up? A lot of veterans who have jumped out of airplanes at night.
Who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right, not some guy got to push screaming out of a plane. Ah!
Yeah.
That would be me.
Right.
Ron, have you ever been at the edge of the plane and thought, I don't know, I get a bad feeling about this one?
Never.
Never.
Never. I just can't wait for the ride to kick in. Even my first time, I just couldn't wait to see what it felt to free fall.
You're a weirdo. You are brave. That's what you are.
Yes, you are.
I didn't mean weirdo.
I come from long family chickens.
Or me too.
Maybe just not that intelligent. I don't know.
Trust me, I can shoot an egg at my ass right now.
We jump at about 14,000 feet. And you free fall for just about a minute. And it's a feeling of falling for like maybe 3 to 5 seconds. And then the ride kicks in.
Yeah.
And you just can't believe the unbelievable feeling. You get up to about 120 miles an hour with your body. And you deploy the parachute around 5 or 6,000 feet. And then it's like a 5-minute canopy ride down.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. No, but I think it is a great thing to do if it's on your bucket list or
right.
If you love jumping.
Right.
My friend really loves jumping out of airplanes, so he's excited about this.
I like bouncy castles.
And you're raising money for veterans, so it's all good. Skydivingforveterans.org.
Yes.
Have you ever had a hairy landing?
Never. Always never. Smooth wow. as could be.
No, this like is... pricker bushes or cactus?
No. They do have cornfields up there, but no, I've never seen anyone land in them.
Yeah, you don't want to ear up there.
Yeah, if you hit a cactus in Ellington, there's something wrong.
Right, it means you drifted to Texas.
Right, you're way off course.
Yeah, you flew for a long way.
It seemed long.
And when you're coming down in the canopy, if you look down to the landing area, there's a big smiley face right in the middle of the field.
Hmm. That's nice.
You don't want to be that little red dot in the smiley face.
Right, right, like a little zit.
No, you don't.
It's like, does that smiley face have a pimple? No.
There's a blemish in the shape of a person.
Yeah, Jimmy didn't pull his ripcord.
Right.
Now, I remember going to the Monroe Airport, which is now not an airport.
Oh.
But this was a grass strip. And not every Sunday, but periodically, we'd go out there on a Sunday, and it was like parachuting day.
Uh-huh.
And all the parachuters were out there. And that's something to do, man.
Yeah.
You watch them come down, and they didn't always land where they were supposed to. It's not like Ellington. Ellington has a big, wide opening. This was just a strip where they cut trees, and they stumped and planted grass.
Right.
And you had to land there.
Either you were good and lucky or oh well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That was...
And when you're up in Ellington, we jump with Connecticut parachutists, a great bunch of people.
They're the best.
They are fantastic. But the view, when you get up there at 14,000 on a clear day, you can see the mountains in New Hampshire, and you can see on the other side of Long Island Sound.
It really is
just spectacular. The view really is incredible.
Is it really is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love watching.
And we found that... We found that early September is the best time, best wind conditions, best view. You get the best days,
foliage.
Not too hot, not too humid. Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just perfect.
Ron, we'll have you back on to talk about this because it's such a special event, raising money for veterans and two great organizations. And we're linked up on the radio station website. So your worst song, the song that would make you jump out of the plane, was that church song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the worst one or I want a copy of it.
Entirely up to you.
This will get everyone out of the plane.
Yes, it will.
Exactly.
Anyone who doesn't want to jump, they're like, okay, I'll jump.
Including the pilot.
Yeah.
Aren't you watching the planes? No.
Ron, thanks for what you do. Appreciate you, brother. Fresh off the taping of his brand new special, recorded in Fairfield at FTC Saturday night. Jim Florentine, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
I love that you came out, and within 5 minutes, it was clear Netflix would never air this special.
I figured I'd get it out of the way right away. Just, I don't want to, have high expectations for it.
Exactly.
Let everyone know.
Right from the start.
What you're in for.
Exactly.
I know there's a quota with Netflix. I understand that. You know, the diversity, everything else, what comics they're going to pick. And I'm not in that rotation, and I'm good with it. So I'm like, okay, so you don't have to worry about maybe put this thing going on Netflix and maybe they're going to censor something. Who knows what they would censor? You know, I've heard from other comics where they've taken stuff out because, you know, the thing is worldwide. And whether you make like a voice of a Chinese guy or something like that, I've heard they say you've got to take that, cut that out. So I don't want any of that. If they came to me and said, hey, here's $250,000 to do a Netflix special, of course I would do it and I would cut those jokes.
You would let them go through your stuff.
Right.
No, I just wouldn't put them in. I go, all right, you know what? I can leave that out. That's not that big of a deal.
Oh, I got you. So you wouldn't do them to begin with. You would just go out and do your stuff. There's different levels of inappropriate.
Right. And you hit all three of them.
There's some stuff that's like, wow, this won't work anywhere but right here with this crowd.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And then there's stuff that's just, it's just friggin' funny.
I always like to mix it up. I always like to have like a clean, kind of clever part of my set where I could do it anywhere. If I have to do a show in New York City where they're not really, they're young or something like that, I'll do that set. But then I always like, totally inappropriate stuff in my set. I like to mix it up and spread it all about the whole show.
You had a whole set about COVID and living with your son during COVID.
Yeah. I had a lot more COVID jokes, but then at the point, like, I feel like everyone's specials, they're all talking about it, so I cut about 10 minutes of it. It was really good stuff, but I was like, by the time this thing gets out and people see it, it's like, who knows when this thing's going to end, but people are going to be tired of it. So I only mentioned it a couple times.
You had enough where it was really, really funny, and it would stand the test of time. Like, you could see it 3 years from now, 5 years from now, and still say it's funny. Because it was more about life stuck with your kid than it was about wearing masks and stuff, you know?
Yeah, you're right, exactly. I brought up Dr. Fauci, but it wasn't really too much about the coronavirus. It was about him being around a long time.
That was brilliant. And so Jennifer and I get there. We go to the bar. We get a couple beers each. She got a couple wines, a couple beers. We sit down, and then they say the bar's going to close. And I'm like, I'm getting this anxiety, like, oh, man, should I have another two beers?
I should probably grab more.
Like, how many should I put next to me on the floor?
Right.
In line.
You might kick them all, right?
What's my comfort level?
Right. I say six.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Jennifer's like, this is fine, two. You got IPAs. You'll be fine. I got two wines. I'll be fine.
Nope.
About halfway through the show, she looks at me. She's like, you're right. We should have got more. But
that's why I told the promoter, because I was going on at I was going on at 9:45 sharp, basically. So I said, make an announcement 10 minutes before the show actually starts. That the bar is going to shut down like at 9:40. So whatever drinks you need, go get them.
Yep.
So I said, make sure you tell the audience that, because they're going to be mad if all of a sudden they go over and the bar's closed when I go on.
Right.
Did you mention Chaz's name in particular?
Load up. No, it's smart.
I'd be the same way. No adult wants to say how many drinks I can have. Like, no, don't. I'm out. I'll get drinks when I want them. And I knew that would be a problem.
Well, it was smart, because if not, you have people walking around the whole
time. Yeah, and you don't want that. You want
getting
to
up
attention.
Right in the middle of a joke or whatever.
Set that to pee,
So I sat down. Thank you for the seats, by the way. Sat down. We have very good seats. I told the promoter, I'm like, I don't want to be too close.
I want to be in the line of fire.
Yeah.
Right.
So we had great seats. We sit down, and I'm right next to this blonde girl. Right, she's to the left of me. Jennifer's to the right. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty good. I got a beautiful wine.
Lady sandwich.
Nice little, I'm the meat and the lady sandwich. So Jim comes out, and he's doing this great material, and we're laughing. Her boyfriend's laughing. She's not laughing.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, oh, boy, this could be good. This could be, she might be the one to get up and say, you can't do that.
Or she didn't get it.
It turns out she was hammered.
Oh.
Like hammered.
Like black.
Like she was 3:30 in the morning, hammered at 9:30.
Wow. Whoops. Happens.
Well, now we know where your extra drinks went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Let my beer go.
Oh, she knocked her drink over. There was like this, we were sitting in this pool of wine on the floor, and then she got up to go to the bathroom, thought she was going to fall over. I'm like, she must have went to the 7 o'clock show and came back for the night.
She's been here since yesterday.
Yeah, you're probably right. Was the 7 o'clock? So I was at the 9:30. That was tremendous.
The 7, they were more rowdy, I thought, and drunk at the 7. They were great, though. I thought the later show was better, the show you were at. The 7 o'clock was great, too. You know, the problem with that, with the drinking, is everyone got used to, when they were stuck inside during the lockdown and everything, drinking earlier.
Uh-huh.
So when the club started opening back up, any shows that started late, like we didn't actually start like 9:40, 9:45, because we're waiting for people to come in, the second show. But so by the time I went on, it was probably a little after 10. They're used to, you know, that woman during the lockdown was drinking at 4 in the afternoon.
Right.
They're out of practice. So all the comedy clubs around the country have known, like, these late shows, they're really drunk because they're not used to staying up and drinking that late.
See, I thought the opposite. So Friday night, we did a comedy show for veterans in Orange. And at 7 o'clock, the sun's out. It's bright. The sun's coming through the windows.
That was weird.
I thought, this seems weird to start comedy right now.
Yeah.
It turned out fine.
Yeah.
But I thought, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday at 7, I'm at the amphitheater, and I'm like, I wonder how Jim's doing, because it's a beautiful day. It's the first beautiful Saturday in a while, and you might get no shows.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So I'm glad it was busy and rowdy.
Yeah, no, it was fine. I'm doing shows down in Florida this weekend, and the shows on Saturday start at 6 and 8:30. I'm like, that's perfect. I want them to start at 4 and 6:30. I want to get them out of the way.
Yeah, let's get it done before they get too drunk.
I want to be home before the 11 o'clock news.
Because it's always the drunk person that ruins a show.
Uh-huh.
Like, everyone always thinks if you're drunk, if you have enough drinks in you, you're going to really laugh hard, but that's not true.
Nope.
sometimes you'll hear a word that I might have said some kind of word where that woman might have set her off. She doesn't even know what I'm talking about because she's so drunk. I might start yelling or talking loud. So, you know, I don't like the drunk people in the crowd.
That's interesting.
That's why he's doing the rehab.
Yeah, because there's just the right amount of alcohol. Yeah.
There is.
Like, not enough is not enough.
Right.
And too much isn't right.
Right.
And there's just that one or two beer level where they're going to laugh and feel good.
Usually, if you're the opener, you get the right head going on because everybody just had a couple of drinks. But I feel bad for the headliner because the headliner's like, oh, man, they're plowed.
Yeah.
I know. It could be a matter of like 10 or 15 minutes for the headliner or 20 minutes at the end of the show where they're so drunk. Like that time really, really matters because people are really trying to get all their drinks in. Because the waitress comes by the comedy club, goes, hey, last call for alcohol.
Right.
You know, like 20 minutes into the headliner set, he still has another 30 minutes. So they're like, oh, we got to stock up. Give me two.
Or a bucket.
Yeah, or a bucket. Yeah, we got definitely a bucket.
And do you find, and I felt this Saturday night, that people need to warm up to the inappropriate jokes. Like, they don't want to laugh out loud, like, let other people know, oh, that's funny. Felt like it was a couple of minutes, and it's like, oh, it's okay. We can laugh.
It's just jokes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, that's why I have Don Jameson open the show and did 15 minutes up front, and he's inappropriate, so I want him to set the tone.
Right.
Right. Like, all right, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
No, it's funny you mention that because Wednesday night, a few nights before I filmed the special on Saturday, I did this little club in New Jersey. And just to warm up and run through the whole set just to get it down. And the room is really well lit. They're still working on getting it like a real comedy club. It only holds like 60 people. So everybody can see each other in the room. And that's when you're doing inappropriate jokes, they don't go over as well because people are uncomfortable laughing when everybody can look at each other at a table next to them. That's why I told the director when I got there, sat. I go, I want it as dark as possible. I want to see maybe the front row a little, and that's it.
Yeah,
right.
Shut the lights off entirely.
Yeah, because it really matters because people, you know, are so used to like I can't laugh at something like that in their life. So if it's dark, they feel safe.
Yep.
There's a formula to building a comedy setting. And I think anytime anyone puts a club together or something, they should consult someone like you.
Yeah.
And our comedy show Friday night was great, but I would have brought the stage closer to the tables, lowered the stage, and I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I thought there's a disconnect. There's too much room between the tables and the stage.
And they went far back, too.
And it went far back.
Way far back.
But it was a great night, a lot of laughs.
Yep.
But I'm sure a comedian would look at that and say, no, you need to do five things differently here.
Yeah, you know? Fix this.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually as close to the stage as possible, a good sound system, decent lights, and, so little things like that. There's like four little things that really need, that will really make or break. You look at the Comedy Cellar in New York City, if you've ever been in there.
Yeah.
It's small. The ceilings are low in a basement.
It's like a cave.
Great.
Yeah, it's like
a cellar. And you're right on top. The crowd's right on top of each other, and that spreads the laughter.
Right. That was really fun. And Jennifer she knew of you, but it wasn't until the show. She's like, oh, he's the You Got Mail guy.
There you go.
I'm like, yes, he's You Got Mail.
He's the one.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. Someone did it. Like, someone in the audience was like, I got mail. Jim looks at him. I'm sure you do.
Shut him down quick.
That's great.
Because then I'm opening a whole other can of worms with that.
I
could talk about it, but that wasn't what I was going to talk about in the set.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, you know, it's weird because, you know, that show, I mean, it came back on even though they didn't bring Special Ed back, Crank Anchors. But it was on from 2002 to 2007. So sometimes when you see a comic, you know, 15 years later after the show's off the air and they're still talking about that character, like, come on, man.
Yeah,
move on. Was like so, but then other people want it, you know. So a third of the crowd's like, oh, you didn't bring up Special Ed. I'm like, yeah, I know. It was, you know.
It's old.
You'd rather not and have them asked to do it than the opposite.
You've moved on.
The great thing about that, though, is anyone like Jennifer who knows of it but doesn't connect it with you,
they get there on their own.
They're like, he's that guy.
Right. Got it now.
You still see it. Yeah. Yes.
And then you're
right. That would get people into the club. You understand when Crank Anchors first hit in like 2002, I did a press photo with the puppet at the premiere. And they put that online, right? Me with the next to the puppet. So then when I was doing like improvs and funny bones around the country, they used that picture as my picture, you know, on the website and outside the club. So, and this show was, you know, when people went crazy over the show, everybody was watching it at the time. And all of a sudden I had parents bringing their kids to the show thinking it was a puppet show.
Mistake.
Those kids learned a lot that day.
Mistake.
It was unbelievable. And people were walking out like 10 minutes in. What is it? What was the puppet? They go, there's no puppet. There's no puppet. Like, I would do it in the beginning because the whole crowd just starts screaming.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know, so I would do it for a little bit. I go, look, I'm not going to do this the whole show.
Yeah.
I go, I'll do it at the end. I'm like Journey. I'm not going to do it with my Don't Stop Believing. I'm not opening with it.
That's your encore.
Yeah, I'll save it for the end. I said, so one guy was yelling, where's the puppet? I go, sir, you're a grown man, okay? Just close your eyes and I'll do the voice for you and pretend to have a puppet up here.
Right.
I remember saying that one day.
Put your hand in your pocket, pretend.
But I definitely lost people like leaving in the show. And I'm like, okay, but then people like your wife who never heard of me go, oh, I like his stand-up. So they became a fan. But I definitely lost people. It was funny. People were like, well, yeah, we lost another 10 this show. I'm like, yeah, well, that's going to happen. That's what you guys put that out there. Oh, my God, he's doing a puppet show. I probably could have made easily like $3 million torn doing that for like two straight years with the puppet. But then I'm like, where do I go from there?
Yeah, you're that guy then.
Yep.
You're
I can't go back out without the puppet. So I just said, no, I'm not. I don't need it. I'm not going to do that.
You become a novelty.
Typecast.
Yeah.
The stuff, I hope you're proud of it. That stuff was like, you're still writing your best stuff. The stuff about your ex-wife. The taking misery and turning it into like the whole room is laughing because we could all kind of relate. It was brilliant stuff.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we'll see how she reacts to it.
Her lawyer's been touched.
All right, bro.
No, it's whatever. It's all jokes. You know, my kid, he'll come to my show, my kid, and I talk about him, and he laughs. I go, look, you know, they're just jokes.
Yeah.
Like, we're just messing around. We're busting balls, basically. Yeah, he gets it. So
yeah, that's it's just a joke.
Right.
Just a joke. Even if it's not, let's just call it a joke.
It's how daddy makes money, so shut up.
That's right.
Well, that's always tough when you're in a relationship or a marriage and, you know, your spouse, like, don't talk about me on stage or that's not true. Why are you saying that? You know, to me, it's like I get it from their standpoint. I said, look, I would just go, look, I'm basically – you bad mouth me at your work. I'm bad mouthing you at my work. I just do it in front of more people.
The same thing. Right.
You just have a different
it's the same
work.
Thing.
Yeah. And I'm making money off.
Right.
Right. And I go, we're paying the bills.
Yeah. So, all right, we got to go to break. Jim, congratulations on that special, man.
I appreciate you guys helping me out and everything. It was great, man.
Let us know when it comes out, all right?
Oh, definitely.
All right,
I will.
Brother. Cool. We're linked up to Jim on the radio station website. Jim Florentine.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.